So, what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to Trending with Timory. As you already know, I am not Timory. My name is Patrick Conley. I'm glad to be in for Timory tonight. It's tonight here in the Midwest, I suppose, our friends out on the West Coast. I mean, it's barely quitting time yet, right? It's only about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But it is, darkness is already starting to fall in Wisconsin, where I am located. You might hear me from time to time filling in on the Inner Life. I also do morning news every once in a while. And if you're in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, I have a local show that airs on Relevant Radio there every week. So it is a pleasure to be in for Timory this evening and to be talking about, well, all sorts of things, all sorts of fun things. And everybody's working for the weekend, right? Everybody's looking forward to, well, I suppose, again, for a lot of us, it is the weekend, and with that being the case, I want to bring up the topic that everybody loves to talk about going into the weekend, which is that of suffering. Suffering is what we want to talk about, right, as we're going into the weekend. I want to start out just by saying that, you know, I had a couple of things going on in my life this week. They were kind of unplanned sufferings, right? And I'll get back to what unplanned means when it comes to that, but one was this is kind of silly, I know, but in fact it's probably even stupid. But I stubbed my toe actually pretty hard, and it's my own fault. I was opening the door for a relative of mine and to let her in the house, and I just pulled the door flush up against the end of my toe, and yeah, it was one of these that it just wasn't a minor thing, right? It was a heavy door, and I was giving it a good pull, and it pulled it right in my toe, and it hurt, and it hurt pretty bad. And then later on that same day, I was running outside with another relative of mine, a nephew of mine. We were running, and I stubbed it again, same toe, and this time the toe just kind of, it said, that's enough of that. You got to stop doing that. And it rewarded me with some pain that really, quite honestly, kept me and my enduring wife up both Monday night and Tuesday night. So yeah, that was rather unexpected, unplanned. And to top it all off, I'm set to run a 5K tomorrow, and I haven't run a 5K in years. So yeah, it's mostly better. I'm hoping that it holds out through the 5K. Anyway. So that's one bit of suffering that has come my way this week. Another thing is, just a couple days ago, our refrigerator decided to stop refrigerating. You know, it's one of those things where the lights are on, but nobody's home. No, the lights are on. The food, you know, you just take a sip of a drink that's been in the refrigerator, and you just think, I don't think that's as cold as it's supposed to be, right? And that's what happened. And of course, if you're like me, and I am so inept at fixing things, at working with my hands, I am just so inept that, you know, it's just one of those things that I just don't want to even think about happening. So if you're like me, I said, I must be imagining it. So I didn't do anything about it. Then the next morning, wake up, take another sip of a drink again, and I said, that seems even warmer than it was yesterday. Well, sure enough, it's not cooling the way it's supposed to cool. Now, I don't know. Before it was, you know, vacuum off the coils, get the dust off the coils and everything. And yeah, so I did that. And that's not an easy task because you got to slide the whole thing out and everything and get behind it as well as in front of it. And, you know, just making sure that all the dust is off. And last time actually this happened, that worked. That fixed. Yay, I fixed something. I fixed, quote unquote, the refrigerator. This time, not so much. It's still basically nothing more than a large gasketed box is what it is right now, holding food. And you know, just their minor sufferings, their minor inconveniences. My toe is already feeling a lot better. We happen to have like a little dorm size fridge that much of our, you know, our really good food goes into. We can put them in there and it'll keep it just fine. And quite frankly, here in Wisconsin, it's getting cold enough at night anyway that you could put stuff outside and it would be all right. Anyway, so they're not major sufferings. Oh, and another thing with the fridge, I found myself reflecting a little bit today. You know what? Even if all the food in the fridge spoils, if it all goes bad and we end up having to feed it all to the chickens or something like that, we'll be fine. Yeah, we've got enough dry goods and other food in the house. We've got enough family and friends around us who would make sure that, you know, we don't want for anything. We'll be fine. And so there is so much to be grateful for. But I open with this on suffering and suffering going into the weekend because of today's saint, Saint Teresa of Jesus or Saint Teresa of Avila, right? We're talking about today and we're honoring today, October 15th. And, you know, great spiritual giant, doctor of the church, one of the four women doctors of the church. And she has so much wisdom to give, so much spirituality to give. I have read bits and pieces of her writings over the course of my 11 now years as a Catholic, and I'm always just impressed by the way that she's real. She's really real. You can just plug right into that. One of the things, I just dug this up, and forgive me if it's misattributed here, but there's one of the things she has to say about suffering. There is no affliction, trial, or labor difficult to endure. This is St. Teresa of Avila. There's no affliction, trial, or labor difficult to endure when we consider the torments and sufferings which our Lord Jesus Christ endured for us. Oh, man. Just in that one phrase, there's so much to unpack, right? Think about it in terms of just, you know, spurring on our own meditation on the cross of Christ, on the crucifix, and on Jesus hanging on the cross. That's one of the huge things of our faith, is to meditate on the suffering and the sacrificial death of our Lord. And in fact, forgive me if I've told this story before or if you've heard it before from me, but one of my favorite stories of communing with the Lord, and I do know that he and I have these, well, sort of, I can, he knows, he appreciates my sense of humor, I think, because my wife and I have since moved to Wisconsin, but I used to live in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I was a parishioner at the Cathedral of St. Paul. And by the way, if any of you have never been to the Cathedral of St. Paul, it's well worth checking out. It's a beautiful place. Right there in St. Paul on the top of the hill overlooks the city. Anyway, when the Triduum would come around, Holy Thursday, glorious music and wonderful celebration of the institution of the Lord's Supper and so many wonderful things that are going on Holy Thursday. And of course, as we all do in all of our parishes, at the end, well, it's not really the end of Mass, right? Because it's just the end of the Holy Thursday portion of it, as we're celebrating one liturgical event spread over 3 days, right? So Holy Thursday comes, and there's this grand procession. They're singing the Pange Lingua, and the choir is, and they're processing around the church with our Lord. He's moved over to the side altar that's beautifully adorned by some very dedicated and very artistic members of the parish. And he's placed in the altar of repose over there. The rest of us, or at least my wife and I, what we usually do is we would sit in the pews and watch the stripping of the altar, the stripping of the sanctuary, really. And it was just so stark and stunning. Great introduction to the Triduum and great preparation for Good Friday and understanding what was going on in the life of Jesus right there. So anyway, eventually we would make our way over to the side altar, to the altar of repose. And I would kneel down, right? And this was a little bit of what I would call planned suffering, right? I would kneel down, and inevitably, like the first 10 rows of pews over near the side altar all had cushions on the kneelers. But inevitably, by the time we got over there, because we were watching the stripping of the altar, we would get over there and we'd kneel down on basically bare boards. And I'm not necessarily a small guy, and so I'm, you know, feeling the weight of myself on my knees on these bare boards. And initially when I kneel down, I'm like, okay, it's all right. It's not too bad. And then about probably a minute in, I'm starting to think, wow, yeah, it's not comfortable. And 2 minutes in, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I am never going to last much longer here. So if I'm gonna make it through these hours of adoration in front of us, I am not going to be able to kneel much longer. But of course, I would try. I would try to turn it into a prayer, right? That's exactly what I would try to do, that's what you're supposed to do, right? So I would pray, and I would say, Jesus, I want to focus on you. I want to focus on you, right? But this hurts really bad. My knees are really hurting right now. This hurts so bad. And his response to me, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was one of these senses that I just knew what the Lord was saying. He was like, yeah, so does crucifixion. And that's pretty much exactly where I get, he gets my sense of humor, but he also strikes to the heart and says, yeah, sacrifice does hurt, but suffering is something that I'm inviting you into, to share in my sufferings, even if it's something as small as kneeling on a board, as stubbing your toe, or as having your fridge go out. And by the way, I do see an off-air caller called in and said, did you unplug your fridge and then plug it back in? That I can do. I will try that. But it also turns my attention, this whole idea of suffering, to this Sunday's gospel. I won't take a lot of time on this, but it's something that really struck me about this Sunday's gospel for the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's the story of James and John, asking Jesus to sit at his right and his left, right? This is human, right? This is, hey, I want to be with you, right? Now, these sons of Zebedee, oftentimes they get a bad rap for this. Yeah, they do. But I'd like to point out, first of all, that when it comes to things to desire in life, sharing in Jesus' glory is loads better than so many other things, right? In fact, note that Jesus, he doesn't reprimand them for it. He doesn't rebuke them, but rather he introduces the concept that in order to share in his glory, they must first share in his suffering, right? And that's one of the things I know we talk about. One of those confounding scriptures, at least it can be to some people, from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, when he says, for I make up in my own flesh that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And you think, what? What's lacking in the sufferings of Christ? Well, our suffering with him, right? The body and the head and the body, the totus Christus, as St. Augustine called it, the whole Christ coming together. When the head suffers, so also does the body suffer. But you know what? When the body suffers, so also does the head, right? We are knit together with Christ as his mystical body, right? And actually, this follows on well from this last week's gospel and the necessity of sacrifice for partaking in the kingdom of God. Remember that? The rich young man who said, okay, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him the commandments, and he says, yeah, I've done all those. And Jesus says, hey, well, one thing you lack. Go, sell all you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me, right? Sacrifice, suffering. Well, I'm convinced that in practicing our Catholic faith, we are not in need of seeking out suffering as such. You don't need to go and stub your toe intentionally, right? Yeah, sure, there's a good history of mortifications as practicing in our faith, and certainly we should honor Fridays as a day of penitence, and there should be some sacrifice that are offered in that. But we don't need to go out and seek out suffering, but we can and should seek out sacrifice, right? Because sacrifice is the foundational aspect of true love, of true agape love, of willing the good of the other as other. Sacrifice is necessary for that kind of love to be manifest in our life. And that sacrifice then is of itself a form of suffering, because it's a form of self-denial, and that is not pleasing to us usually as human beings with all of our concupiscence and everything. It's the path of humility, really. And by the way, for those of you who are listening when Father Kubicki is giving his Saint of the Day reflections, which he does, they play him throughout the day, right? I don't know if you've ever heard him say this, but I love his take on humility. So a little nod to him. He says that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I love that. That's a great way of putting it. Sacrifice is the path of enslaving ourselves to others, which this Sunday's gospel, that's how Jesus ends. That's where the gospel ends, is that Jesus commending that of being a slave to all is the way of being the greatest among the disciples. So I guess the question is, what is a sacrifice, large or small, that you can make today, right? Or tomorrow, if it's late enough where you think, I've given enough sacrifice today. I've done my penitential acts for Friday, and I'm ready to just move on to Saturday, right? Well, that's fine, but what's a sacrifice, large or small, that you can make tomorrow? Can you write a letter, right? Make a phone call? Can you rake a yard? Up here in Wisconsin, we got a lot of leaves on the ground right now. Can you cook a meal for somebody? Can you offer to chill some food for some people? Could you pray a rosary in this month of the rosary? Could you pray a rosary for someone who you know is in need of God's help, of God's encouragement, of God's hope? Well, whatever it is that you choose to do, I am confident in this, that when we deny ourselves and take up our cross of sacrifice and follow after Jesus, as the rich young man was encouraged to do, as James and John are encouraged to do, Jesus will be sure to give us our rightful place in his glory. All right, so that's a little bit of the opening salvo here. I think we'll take a short break, but when we come back, I want to test out something we call, that I like to call, reverse apologetics, and it will involve you, the listener. So that's what's coming up. We'll be back right after this.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending with Timory. My name is Patrick Conley, in for Timory tonight. And yeah, I think, so I kicked off that break with a little reflection on something that I call reverse apologetics. And let me explain what I mean. Now, you've got some great shows here on Relevant Radio that will help you with apologetics. You know, all these shows that have call-ins about addressing your questions about the faith. So, of course, you've got Patrick Madrid, you've got Father Simon, you've got Cale Clark. I mean, you've got all these wonderful people and all these wonderful things that you can learn by listening to Relevant Radio throughout the day. So great stuff going on there. Back on September the 14th, I was sitting in for Timory, and I just told the story about a Protestant friend of mine who was questioning why I decided to put a crucifix with the corpus of Christ up on my wall instead of just a bare cross. This is back when I was a Protestant. And so I just invited callers to say, well, why is Jesus on the cross? And and callers, you all rang in droves. So I've got another story, and then I've got a question for you. So this is to show, I mean, I call it reverse apologetics because it's not me telling you what I said, the brilliant things that I said, right? But it's hearing from you, and I would love it if you want to call in and respond to this one. So in my former employment, I have served as an RCIA leader. And of course, as I'm sure many RCIA leaders do across the country, and by the way, if you're not familiar, RCIA is the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. It's the ordinary way in which adults come into the Catholic Church, from no faith tradition at all to another religious tradition to another Christian tradition to, you know, whatever it would be, they're coming into the Catholic Church, right? And as many good RCIA leaders will do, they will schedule these sort of opening interviews. You know, you just want to sit down. You want to get to know where these people are coming from. So you have an idea and you want to meet them face to face, you know, build some rapport, let them find out, tell them about the program or whatever it is that you're offering, how you're structuring RCIA and that sort of thing. And more than once, and in fact, well, I won't say that it was a significant number of times, meaning I don't want to overestimate it, but more than once, when I would have these opening interviews, I would sit down and I would generally say, you know, well, what's been your faith life thus far? You know, what has been your relationship with God thus far? What has been your practice of faith or no faith? And people were very open about sharing on that. But more than once, people would respond with something along the lines of this. They would say, well, my parents didn't really push any religion on us as kids. They didn't take us to church, but they also didn't take us anywhere else for religion. So we grew up without really religion. And because they wanted us to make the decision for ourselves when we got older. And there are tons of things that I would have liked to have said in response to that, but I'm trying to kick in with my more pastoral side. I knew that it would probably have derailed the conversation and probably, if I'm honest, the relationship if I said some of the things that I was actually thinking of to say at that point. But this is not an uncommon phenomenon in our society these days where parents will decide, they will opt, you know what, we're not going to teach our kids any religion, and they can just decide when they get older. In the church, we would call that get of the age of reason, right? But my question to you, faithful listener, is what would you have said? And you don't have to be pastoral with me. You don't have to be pastoral on this show. Why is it that that may not be such a good idea to not push any specific religion on your children? That's my question for you. If you'd like to get in on it and offer your answer, love to hear from you. Our phone number here on Trending is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. And, you know, again, it's a situation in which you don't want to derail people's interest in the faith because they've taken the step to get together with you as an RCIA director, and they've taken the step to call you up or to email you and say, hey, I want to check out this Catholic thing. There's just not, you know, whatever it is that has got them in the door, that's a work of the Holy Spirit right there, right? And of course, you don't want to meet them with this sort of opposition and any kind of negative things. You certainly don't want to, you know, you don't want to throw them off. And that's really why I tempered my comments at that point. That's how I selected to temper my comments. Yeah, it does. Lucas has just said to me, so on the surface, it sounds like a nice thing to do. Yeah, and that's what I would like from you, the listener. I want to hear, what's that but? What happens when we do that? Why is that not such a good idea to say, you know what, I'm not going to teach my kids anything about any religion, but rather what I'm going to do is I am going to let them decide when they're older. Or maybe, you know, maybe that's something that your parents did to you and it worked out great and you're now a devout Catholic, and you want to talk about that. You know what? I'm open to hearing those kind of stories, too. Give us a call, 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. I'd love to hear your answer to that. Why is it not such a good idea to say to your kids or to put your kids in that position of saying, all right, we're not going to teach you anything about religion. You can just decide when you're older. So, there's a few coming in here. Again, 888-914-9149. Would love to see that board light up all the more. So, yeah, if you have any thoughts or questions on that question, feel free to bring them in. I will say this. I can give you a little bit of my own upbringing is that that was not in the mindset of my parents. However, I do think that at least early on, there was a sense of, well, we could always kind of talk my mom out of going to church. And, well, not always. Every once in a while, she just said, you know, nope, we're going this Sunday. But, you know, it's not always something that seemed to be at, right at the top of priority list. So we did actually kind of successfully skirt the church thing now and again, and probably more often than I'd like now to care to admit. But yeah, so I'm coming from a place where although we didn't quite get to the point of saying, yeah, you need to decide when you're older, because when we hit junior high, we got a new pastor. This is growing up Protestant, by the way, but we got a new pastor in my church, and my mom just laid down the law, and she said, we are going to church every Sunday. Now that we have a new pastor, and I don't think there was anything necessarily wrong with the old pastor, but it was just that was just kind of the liminal point where you're saying, all right, it's going to happen now. So, and we did. We went to church every Sunday, and I thank God for that. Yeah, I am literally thanking God for that. All right, let's take a phone call. We got Tom, who's calling in from Frost Lake, Minnesota. Tom, is it chilly in Frost Lake tonight?
It's actually Cross Lake, but...
Okay, Cross Lake. Yeah.
Yep. I also love the cathedral as well. Whenever I'm in the cities, I enjoy.
Oh, do we still have you, Tom? Sorry.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was calling in response to your that question you posed, and I had that experience a couple years ago with a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, and I responded almost immediately without thinking as, well, why are you teaching your children to walk? Why are you feeding them? Why are you teaching them to ride a bike? Why are you teaching them skiing? Why are you teaching them anything? Because all of those things you're teaching them are of minor importance in comparison to the goal of heaven.
Okay.
Why would you skip teaching the most singular important thing, yet you teach them all the other functions of how to be a human? I mean, it's very strange, and I know I'm kind of an engineering guy, right? So often see the logic in how people think. But to me, that's a very strange thing to say.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. And what was your colleague's response to that when you said that?
He also is a engineer. So he was, you know, he wasn't, because my response clearly was not very pastoral.
that's all right. As I said, you don't need to be pastoral here. Yeah.
Yeah. But he didn't, he didn't take it harshly. He was defensive about it. But I think it was so blatant in his face, logical, that he just kind of, it was kind of funny. He was kind of taken aback, but he wasn't offended by it.
Okay.
It's interesting. He's been a challenge with his faith, and I'm always trying to prod him along.
Yeah.
Smart guy, but walking in the wilderness without much guidance. So, you know, how does
right.
he know?
No. Hey, that's great. I like that. I like that answer a lot. So yeah, I mean, if you're teaching him to do these, again, in comparison, trivial things, then why would you do that and neglect the things of most importance? That's good. I like that, Tom. Very good answer. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for sharing that. And stay warm there in Cross Lake.
Sure will. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Okay. Thank you. Let's go from Tom to Ryan, who's calling in from San Diego, California. Ryan, I bet it's not too chilly in San Diego right now, right?
Nope, it is a little bit uncomfortably hot today, but I am arriving at Mass about an hour early, so it's a good
thing. Nice. Very good, very good. All right, so why would you recommend not abstaining from teaching religion to your children?
So I was raised in that sort of environment without any sort of religion pushed on me, and I'm a fairly recent convert to Catholicism.
Nice.
Knowing that Christ has come to redeem all people, and because everyone needs salvation, regardless of how old they are because of original sin, I would point that out as because I would first introduce the person, and thankfully I don't have to be pastoral in this call.
Right.
I would explain that humanity is fallen and that sin is inherited from Adam and that your child too needs to be saved. And even though that could come off as offensive, I would just...
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Right, right. Wonderful. Well, if you can do so in, say, 30 seconds or less, Ryan, can you tell us what finally brought you to the Catholic Church?
Yes. I read about the rosary promises of the church, and I thought that was nonsense. So I said a rosary to disprove Roman Catholicism.
Nice.
And shortly after, the video game Pokemon Go had me chasing a Pokemon, and it ended me in a confessional. And I can only describe it as Mary showing me her son.
That is fantastic. Oh my gosh, Ryan, we need to make that story, you know, far and wide known. Yes, he did. Patrick Alog, who's taking our phone calls tonight, said, did he just say Pokemon led him to confession? Yep, that's what he said. Well, I think Mary actually led him to confession is what's going on there, but she can use many, many tools that are at her disposal.
It was funny. I was like, wait, I'm in confession? Because I was baptized Catholic, and then my family just kind of forgot about it. So okay. I was able to receive the sacrament of absolution. And
yep.
Just the grace of Christ, but also my sins poured down on me. And I was like, I didn't expect this story. I've been going to daily mass since. I want to live my life for the Immaculate Heart.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's fantastic, Ryan. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your answer, too. You're right. Baptism is an urgent thing, and that's one of the great reasons why we need to tell our children about that. We need to give them the life that Jesus came to bring, right? So, Ryan from San Diego, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it, and God bless. Enjoy that Mass. Yeah, participating in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Can't beat that, right? All right, so we also had an off-air caller who called in and said that they wish that they would have been taught. And so they didn't really learn anything growing up about religion until they were about 10 years old. And it's real out there, folks. It's real. If you're just joining us, question I'm putting forward to listeners tonight are, you know, some parents say we're not going to teach our kids anything about religion. Let them decide when they're older. And my question to you, the listener, is, what exactly might be wrong with that approach? And I needed to be a little more pastoral when I heard that as an RCIA leader, but you don't have to be pastoral here on Trending with Timmery. All right, let's go over to Anne from California. Anne, welcome to Trending. What would you say to parents who say, I don't want to teach my kids about religion?
Well, I teach at a Catholic high school, so I see the effects of that. And it's a difficult time to have so many that don't have any background in it. So all the high school issues, all the world issues in any class that's talked through the Judeo-Christian lens, it doesn't make any sense to them.
Mm. Yeah, it doesn't connect.
And that's a sad thing. And I feel bad for them in that. Many of them, I'm sure, feel like they got pushed into the deep end because the curriculum for a Catholic high school starts at a certain place. And now it's really, I would say now, unfortunately, it's probably the majority. So now it's really beginning with very, very basic catechesis.
Yeah. Yep.
That's one comment, the effects of it. The other one, I think, would agree with one of your callers, maybe two before, that talked about, and I was thinking the same thing, you know, parents are willing to drive all over the region for sports, every single sport. In fact, they would never say to their kid, wait until you're 18 to decide which sport you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing about something that's so meaningful. So those are my two comments.
That's great, Anne. I do appreciate that, and that's wonderful. Do you ever, just out of curiosity, when you're teaching your students in this Catholic high school, do you ever use that? Do you ever try to bring that to their awareness, that their dedication to sports might be so deep and so important to them right now. But in actuality,
I hope I have in different words, because okay. It was really actually rather brilliant that I just said it 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But I think about with my own kids who are not practicing, and I obviously did a poor job in communicating it, but I'm also during that generation that we didn't know a whole lot. We didn't know how to teach it. It was just a part of our culture.
Yeah.
Well, the culture doesn't have God, so we got to work a little bit harder.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, that's very true. That's very true. Yep. And hopefully more on that as we take other calls too. But Anne from California, thank you so much for calling in. Great perspective from a Catholic high school teacher, and just some of the things that are going on in our society today that might dissuade us from accepting the Christian truth if we hear about it later in life. So thanks for that. We've got a couple more callers, but you know what? We're going to take a quick break. Callers, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after this break. You're listening to Trending with Timmery, and the question before us is, why might parents not teaching their kids about religion be a bad idea? If you have something to say about that, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll be back right after this.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Trending with Timmery. My name is Patrick Conley in for Timmery tonight. I'd like to thank Lucas Holt, our producer, and Patrick Alog taking your phone calls. As we're talking about, I've invited listeners to call in and respond to the question, why might parents saying that they're not going to teach anything about religion to their kids so that they can decide when they're older, why might that not be such a good idea? If you have something you'd like to share with us here on Trending with Timmery, give us a call, 888-914-9149. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Kelly, who's been waiting patiently from Middleton, Wisconsin. Kelly, welcome to Trending. What would you say to parents who don't want to teach religion to their kids?
Hi. So I would say, because I actually had parents that did that exact thing. Mm. They were fallen away Catholics. They wouldn't. I actually begged to make my communion only because I wanted the little pretty dress. But it took me until I was almost 50 years old when I finally came into the Catholic Church. And I feel like I was just cheated out of so much of my, you know, because all the decisions, maybe they would have been different, maybe not. But I also feel like I really cheated my own kids, because I'm just such a different person now that I am in the church and now that I understand a lot of the teachings and why. And I just would have done things so much different. And it's like, you don't let your kids, you know, learn from themselves not to go play in the street. So why would you do that with such an important thing like religion?
Right. Absolutely. Yes. There's something that's kind of it's just the way things are that you wouldn't let your kids go play in the street. So was it from the influence of your parents, Kelly, and them, you know, not having religion as part of your upbringing? That's what influenced your own decisions about what to do with your kids? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, because I was kind of anti-Catholic, because that's how they, you know, raised me. And so I finally just wandered my way into the Protestant church. But as you know, that's a lot different. So it took years and years and years. So one day I was just sitting in the Protestant church, still anti-Catholic. And I had the thought, I need to go to the Catholic church. I'm like, why would I have that thought? That's crazy. But I ended up, I went to RCIA, and now I am just full-fledged devout Catholic.
Amen, amen. Well, wonderful to hear it, Kelly. And it's a wonderful thing. And quite frankly, God bless our Protestant brothers and sisters who do have, and many times just have this open door of saying, all right, you know, come on in. And they do well. And Catholic churches, quite frankly, we're doing better and better all the time, is what I'm seeing, as reaching out to those who may be estranged and even fallen away Catholics. So, Kelly, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. God bless you. Continue on in living the faith. Yeah, amen. Let's go from Kelly to Joseph, who's calling in from Minneapolis. Joseph, welcome.
Well, thank you. And what a wonderful question. I think perhaps it takes place sometimes within some households where the parents may not fully appreciate, of course, themselves what a gift it is. I remember my mom telling me when I was little that the Catholic Church was a gift to us from Jesus. And even in spite of that, in my later years, I drifted for a while because my will was much more interesting to me than God's. And boy, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah. But, good point.
I think that, you know, the gift that it is, why would any parent who understood the Catholic Church or have some appreciation for it want to wait to see if their child discovers, you know, what a gift it is? I mean, it really doesn't teach the child much of what a gift it is if we just, you know, hope that by default that they finally figure that out themselves someday. And I'm grateful that my mom was as persistent as she was with us kids when we were little. And, you know, she had to bang our heads against the wall a few times, I think, to figure out that there's a better way.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's about right. Well, and you know what? You're absolutely correct. Your mom was absolutely correct that, you know, of course, the Catholic Church is such a gift blessed by the Lord. But I'm just trying to think of what would kids' response be? What do you think if you told them, you know what, we're not going to give you any Christmas gifts until you're old enough to just go out and get what you want? What do you think kids would, you know, what would they say to that?
Well, you know, that's a good question, but you raised something in my mind in saying that. And I remember once when Mother Teresa was accused by someone of just wanting to bring people into to the Catholic Church when she was talking about the Eucharist, and she said, you know, when you discover what a gift it is, you just want it for everybody. And if a parent truly knows what a gift it is, I think, how could you not want that for your children, given that we're first and foremost to be the primary educators of our children, and one of our duties as parents is to do everything that we can to help get our children to heaven. You know, the question of you know, why a parent would just, you know, let a child meander on their own and hopefully figure it out, that's kind of a sad scenario.
Yeah, absolutely right. Wonderful points, Joseph. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your story, and I'm glad that your parents were sticklers about it, even if they had to, you know, like you said, bang your head against the wall a little bit to get you there. My mom had to do the same thing, so God bless our parents as well who did that, who took that tack. Thank you, Joseph. Thanks for the phone call. God bless you. Let's go from Joseph to Richard, who's calling in from Monterey Park, California. And Richard, welcome to Trending. What would you say to parents who don't want to teach religion to their kids?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I would say that that's the minimum you could do, because faith formation has to start in the home. By the time they reach 10, if they haven't had faith formation or older, you've pretty much lost them to the indoctrination from our educational system, which is anti-Christian and secular. And it's the minimum. I would say that you would also have to either homeschool them or put them in a Catholic school, because they need that double reinforcement in today's non-Christian secular society, because they will end up not being Christian. And that's per Patrick Madrid, one of your hosts, who was giving information and advice to somebody who said that they were being taught about the gender dysphoria and how to accept that, and the CRT. He goes, if you don't curtail that by putting them in either homeschooling, if you can't afford Catholic schools, then you need both. You need to have the formation at home, and it needs to be reinforced in the school. So
right,
it's
right.
Bad news, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, well, it is. The influence of our culture is very alive and well, and whether it's coming through the schools or coming through phones and other devices, or however it's coming through friends and peers and that sort of thing. So you make a great point, Richard. I thank you for that. We're going to try to squeeze in a few more calls, though, so we'll make that one brief. Thank you, Richard, for that. Let's go to Jacqueline from Sacramento. Jacqueline, welcome to Trending with Timmery. What would you say to parents who don't want to teach their kids religion?
First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So to answer your question, first time I'm calling, by the way.
Wonderful. Welcome.
But I felt it was, thank you. So I was raised Proto-Catholic. And now as a mom, I have a beautiful four-year-old. So now as a mom, I feel how important it is to be the example for her. So growing up, my mom, same thing too, kind of what Joseph was saying, it was a blessing that my mom was very strict about me going to church. And there was a point where I was preparing for my first communion, and I told my mom, I don't want to go. Like, I already go to school. Why should I go to church school, Sunday school? And she's like, it's so important for you to learn about Jesus, and, you know, you're going to receive Jesus soon. And so I didn't have an option, right? And I appreciate that, because she's, you know, as a mom, now I understand how important it is to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. It's our nourishment, right? It's our fuel. So now my four-year-old, she sees mommy receiving Jesus, and she wants to receive Jesus. And, she has that open heart for Jesus, and she knows how much Jesus loves her. So I think the example is very important. So for me to say to her, oh, you don't have to go to church, it's optional, you know, like for me to say that's contrary, you know, I'm being a hypocrite, right? Like, as I know how important it is for me, how important, and that I can't live without Jesus. So I want her as well to learn that Jesus loves her so much unconditionally.
Yeah.
And that Jesus is our fuel, is our light, life, our guide. So for me, it's so important to guide her. Yeah,
wonderful. Good answer. I'm glad that your mom took that initiative with you, and I'm glad that you passed that on to your four-year-old and that she is responding well. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thanks for calling in and offering your answer. Let's see if we can get one more in. Bill, calling from Albuquerque. What would you say to parents who are not able to, or who don't want to teach religion to their children? We only got a couple minutes left.
Well, I just want to say that's ridiculous. If you don't bring them up with religion, you're not giving them a choice. In order to give them a choice, you have to bring them up with religion, and then they have the choice to reject it. But how can they reject something or not choose it if you don't give it to them in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Right. You need to give them an option, right? Yep. I mean, you're going to make them make
a
choice.
If you don't bring them up with religion, then they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The idea that, well, I'm going to give them the choice, you haven't given them a choice because you've denied them the religion. And, you know, obviously they get a free will. They can reject it later on if they want to. But if you don't give it to them, you haven't given them a choice.
Right, right. Absolutely right. Yep. Thank you. You need to have the options on the table in order to make a choice. So hiding one of the choices is not really a fair choice. And, that's a great point, Bill. Thanks for calling in. Jim from Marshall, Wisconsin, you got a really, really quick answer for us, Jim?
Sure. My religious ed kids, I ask them what's their most important class. They don't know if they're going to use the French, their algebra, or other classes like that. Then I flip it to a religion class. Will you need forgiveness? Will you get married someday?
Yeah.
Will you be thankful for anything? Will you have a loved one die in your life?
Yeah.
So religion class is the only class that you're guaranteed 100% to need in the future. Everything else are optional.
Wonderful. So we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and at that point that will be absolutely necessary. So thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Great brief answer to the question. Thanks for calling in. Thanks to all of our callers. And Alan, I'm sorry we didn't get to you tonight, but maybe we'll have another night where we can do something fun there. Just in closing, my thoughts would be that, you know, there is such a thing as truth, and we want to teach our kids the truth. And it's not this religion, that religion, that religion, that religion, that religion, but the truth is Jesus Christ, of course. And so we want to introduce our kids to that truth as early and as often as we can. Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, my name is Patrick Conley. It's been a pleasure to be with you here on Trending with Tim Marie this evening. Thanks for listening. Thanks to all of our callers who called in. Thanks to Lucas and Patrick for helping us out. Family Rosary Across America is coming up next. Be sure and stay tuned for that, especially here in this month of the Rosary. God bless you. Take care.